And I almost forgot to press record. That's why I have my little cheat sheet here. Yeah, we are recording this call. So the good thing about this is that we're going to be posting the recording on the Power Program website. So if any of you have any questions, you need some coaching on something, and we role play, this will be an opportunity for you to, listen to it later on. Right now, everybody's muted, so we can't hear each other, which is good, so we get a good recording. But if you want to ask me a question, you want to interrupt me at any time, simply hit star 6 on your keypad, and that should take you off mute. Sometimes there's a delay. It takes time, and I'm just going to test that right now. Sarah, you should be listening in right now. If you would hit star 6 and just say hello after a second there. So let's just make sure that this is working. Did you hear me, Sarah?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay, and you hit star 6, yes?
Yes.
All right, great. You can hit star 6 again. That should put you back on mute. Everybody, that was Sarah, my assistant. So Tanzania, hello. Vicky, hello. These are the people on the Facebook group. Just want to welcome them. All right. So here's what we're going to do. Just a reminder, especially for the new people that this is your first time on the call, the purpose of this is for me to give you some one-on-one coaching. So, make sure you participate. Think about something that you want to ask me, something, a challenge you might be having right now that you want to have a breakthrough in. And when I open up the call, just hit star 6, and that'll take you off mute, and I'll be able to hear you. Then, if we have time, I'm going to go through the magazine this month. Every month, we put together a Power Agent magazine loaded with stuff for you to use on your appointments, work with your buyers, mailings, checklists. And for those of you that get to see my screen, you'll actually see me go through the magazine. How you get access to the magazine is by logging in to the Power Program website. And it's a PDF, so it's easy to download and manipulate and stuff like that. If for some reason you lost your username and password, just contact my office. If you go to thepowerprogram.com, Sarah is there for you on the chat. There's a little button that says live chat. She'll be there to answer any questions to help you get logged in. Okay, with that said, now let's go right to the questions. And as a reminder, the best thing to do is to email me questions in advance, so that way I can get you at the top of the queue, so to speak. Once these calls start, I don't check my emails. So send it beforehand. William Flagg, if you're on the call, could you take yourself off mute by hitting star 6? If you're on the call, star 6 one time, and so I can answer your question. Are you there? William Flagg. Okay. So this is what happens. When somebody emails me a question, if they're not on the call, I'll still address it, and they can listen to the answer later on. So William had asked this question. He sent an email to me saying, for me to stay in this business, I need to reinvent myself and get with the times. As you know, that's why I attended your seminar, to put together a portfolio for my listings. It sounds like a great tool, great idea. With that in mind, it sounds like it'll take a tremendous amount of time. So any ideas in putting it together, I'd appreciate. So William, and for everybody, to me, when you go on a listing appointment, it's really imperative to, if you're thinking about asking whatever commission, 5%, 6%, 7%, even 8%, you really have to justify the commission that you're asking. And I think going into a listing appointment, just winging it, having a folder with stuff in it, looks like a folder with stuff in it. Now, top agents, they can get away with some things that the average agent can't, because they have name recognition. They have credentials. They have production. So for them, they can be a little bit more loosey-goosey on an appointment. But for most of us, it's really important that we have a marketing plan. I like to call it a seller success system. I like the alliteration, SSS, seller success system. And if I were going back into real estate myself, even today, with all the technology and everything that we have, I would still have a 3-ring binder with visual representation of the things that I'm talking about. And that's the important thing, is the listing conversation book is a visual representation of what you're saying. And here's how I would put the book together. The first section should have your credentials about your accomplishments, your certificates, education, classes that you've taken. If you've got production, you're a strong producer, same thing. So the first section is really validating you, which a lot of agents I've learned over the years is, you know, it's uncomfortable for them because they don't like to brag. But it's important that a homeowner understand your credibility, your experience. So don't think of it as bragging. Think of it as informing and educating. So anything that you can do visually to represent yourself as a strong power agent, yeah, is what you would go in the first section. The second section would be things that talk about your company, your franchise, your broker, your office. Now, sometimes agents get confused with this. They'll have pieces in there that talk about marketing. You know, here's the marketing my company does, our franchise does. That's the third section. So let me just distinguish section two and section three. Section two is the bigness of your organization, of your company, how long it's been around, market share, what's your average days on market for your sellers? Anything that gives credibility to the success of the company. How many agents are in the company? Here's a rule of thumb, too. Wherever possible, you want to use real pictures. Like if you take pictures of the office, pictures of your broker, your manager, stuff like that. Okay, the third section is marketing tools. This is what you do to help a homeowner get their property sold in today's market. So this is where you'll talk about MLS, yard sign, lockbox, feature sheet, internet, web advertising, all of that stuff. So section one, section two is really about credibility, establishing trust that you're a committed agent, and then the third section is marketing tools. So William, I hope that helped you. Sorry you weren't on the call. Now, Tanzania, Danielle, I know you're on the call, and I'm probably messing up your name there. So let's see. Hold on 1 second, Tanzania. Am I seeing, is a page that says Power Agent? Are you showing more? Yeah, so right now, for those of you that are looking at my screen, I'm not showing anything right now. So Mary Robinson, thanks for that question. Right now, you just see the Power logo on my computer screen. I'll show you, I'm going to use my computer screen when I start going through the magazine. So, all right, Tanzania, are you on the call? Tanzania, if you're on the call, you want to hit *6 one time, and that's going to unmute you. So *6 one time, give it a second. And while she's doing that, Rosemary Shepherd, Roe Shepherd, you're going to be up next. And then Sean Lundell, you'll be up next. All right. Let's see. Tanzania, you're on the call with me. All right. So Tanzania had a question about calling FSBOs and how to deal with that, but I wanted to role play with her. So I'm going to put her question over to the side. Roe Shepherd, are you on the call? Rosemary, *6 one time. Everybody's giving me these questions. We have almost 100 people, and everybody asked me a question. Is not on the call. Okay, so Ro, here's what Ro's question was, because this is something that everybody can appreciate. I'm heading into viewing a property on Monday evening. The seller told me that they're already given a price by another agent, but they asked if I wanted to see it. All right, so she's going on a listing appointment. The homeowner's already gotten a price from another agent. Sounds like they may list with this agent. But still, Ro got the appointment. This is exciting. I love this. I don't think they've signed the paper, so my goal is to get the listing agreement signed while I'm there. Any suggestions as to handle the objection that might come up? Okay. So first of all, gang, if you ever get you make a phone call and you've got a homeowner who says, yeah, I have an agent who's coming over already, or we're talking to another agent, do you still want to come over? The great thing about that is we know that this homeowner's decided that they're going to list their house. So that's awesome. So you definitely not only want to go, but you want to be excited because you're a power agent. So the odds of you getting it over the other agent is much greater. Now, in the case, this specific case where a homeowner said that they're going to be going with this other agent or they got a price from the other agent, what you don't want to do is compete based on price or commission. That is always a mistake that agents will make. So here's what I would do. I would go into this listing appointment. I would tour the house. So just I'm going to review some basic stuff. When I ring the doorbell, they answer hi and give them a smile, and they're going to bring me into the house. I'm going to take my folder, my three-ring binder, my computer, my bag, whatever, and I'm going to put it, go into the kitchen, put it on the kitchen table. I'm going to now tour the property. You know, it's during this time of touring the property that we're building a relationship. We're building trust. So you want to focus more as you tour the property of building that connection. That's very important. Make sure you smile a lot and let them smile. The oxytocin. There have been so many studies done that when you smile and they smile, there's been trust. I'm going to share one thing with you real quick on how important the smiling is on a listing appointment. Nielsen Rating, they did a study on the Super Bowl ads, and they found the Super Bowl ads that had the most engagement, the most shares on social media, and the companies that actually had an increase in revenue were the ads where it made the people watching the ads smile. I blew my mind when I saw that Nielsen Rating study. So I cannot stress enough, focus on smiling, smiling, smiling during the tour. Now, you come back to the kitchen table. Here's what I'd say. Mr. and Mrs. Hanahan, I'm really glad and I really appreciate the opportunity you're giving me to take a look at this property. And I understand you have this other agent you're interested in. Let me share this with you. One of the mistakes that a lot of homeowners make, and I might even do this, gang, I might even show them a list of expireds. I'd say, now, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahan, you'll look at this list here. All of these homeowners have two things in common. Number one is they were committed to selling their house. Number two is it expired off the multiple listing. And there's actually a third thing they had in common. It's probably because they hired the agent based on price and not based on the skill of the agent. See, an agent's job, they cannot look into the future and say, this is what the house is going to sell for. And any agent that suggests that, I say that they're being a little bit too enthusiastic. The job of an agent is to be a marketing agent, meaning to give as much exposure as possible to this property to get as many buyers through the front doors. Now, here's what is true. The more buyers that come through the door, the more buyers are interested in the property, which means the higher the price it will sell for. So what influences the price, the actual selling price, is directly related to the number of buyers that are aware that this house is for sale. Therefore, what's real important, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, is you hire an agent based on your gut feeling if you believe that, number one, they understand this concept, but number two is that they are the best skilled at marketing your property. So I'll say it this way. If you were had to go in for open heart surgery, God forbid, would you want to choose the doctor based on the price that they told you that they charged or based on their skill and ability? Obviously, their skill and their ability. It's the same thing when it comes to any investments. If you were going to hire somebody who's going to manage your estate or your investments, you want to hire the best skilled, not the cheapest or the price that they tell you. Does that make sense? So as I go through, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, my marketing plan, I have a seller success system. That as I go through this, I want you to ask yourself in your gut, am I the best skilled agent to give the property the most exposure? And if I'm not, then you should not hire me. You should hire the other agent. So let me share something with you important. First of all, about myself. And then, gang, I would then go into those three sections where I'm talking about myself, then I'll talk about my company, and then I'll go into the marketing tools. So, Ro, I hope that helped you. That is my suggestion. I'm very excited for you. I have a good feeling you're going to get this listing. All right, now, Sean Lundell, are you on the call? If you are, say hello. Sean, you've got... I just got this email this morning from Sean. You have to hit *6 on your keypad to take yourself off mute. So I'll wait and give her a chance. Sean, are you there? Is it Shan? There you are. Yes, I can hear you. Thank God. I'm like, everybody that's emailed me questions, they're like MIA. So I'm so excited. All right. So say hi again, Sean.
Hi, how are you, Shauna?
All right, good. Let me raise the volume on you. And now, is it, I'm saying your name wrong?
I'm sorry, what was that? It's Shauna, yes.
Shauna, okay, great. I'm sorry. Okay, well, do you know the email you sent me? It says, Sean, it says S-H-A-A-N, just so you know.
Oh.
You spelt your own name wrong in the email, so we got to work on that.
The auto-correct it.
Okay, so I'm not totally insane. All right, so Shauna, you had a great question. Why don't you, instead of me reading your email, why don't you talk for a minute there about your question and what's going on?
Sure. I've been in real estate for 14 years. I work with many different buyers and sellers in different price ranges and properties, from land to condo, new construction, and so on and so forth. I have never done luxury high-end, but I want to have experience in the market as well. I have seeing appointment opportunities with other people.
Hang on.
I have another one coming up. But one of the concerns of the seller is doubt on my lack of sales in their price range and my ability to be able to sell in that price range, because they're seeing on Zillow, you know how Zillow will show your sales dollars and those kind of things and different things they've seen. They haven't seen me in that price range. So how do I combat that? And number two, how do I also try to promote myself to get to that next level of price range by not showing, I'm grateful for all the business I have, but to show, to not draw attention that I haven't done it, and also to stand out that I want that opportunity.
Great. Okay, so, and you can hear me, right, Shauna?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, couple of things, and you broke up a little bit there, so I'm just going to repeat your question. And the bottom line is, you have this $1.6 million potential listing. You're concerned that it's going to come up that you haven't listed or sold anything in that price range. So how do you deal with that? So let me just
say it did come up. He did write back and say that.
Okay. So Shauna, let me ask you this: how many listings or sales do you do, or did you do last year?
I did a total of 30 transactions, probably 20 listings.
Okay, great.
32.
All right, great. So, all right, let me just, I get another text here. I just want to address it to everybody real quick. Some of you are asking questions about seeing my screen. There's nothing to see right now. You just see the Power Agent logo, so just be patient. I'm going to show you the magazine later. All right, now, Shauna, so the fact that you got, let me write that down again. You had how many listings last year and how many sales?
It was a total of 32. I believe it was 22 were listings and 10 buyers.
Okay, so those are 32 sales, yes? Okay. So
yes.
First, so you're in a good place to deal with this. So I wrote some notes down to give you here. First of all, as far as the luxury market, I'll be honest, just this is not your question, but I want to address this for everybody. This is not my specialty, and anybody that's looking to break into the luxury market, there's a couple of great speakers and training courses and certification out there. And if you just Googled or talked to other agents, I'm sure you will find those certifications that are out there and classes to take. So that's the first thing I just want to say. Now, but I can help you with how to deal with this, especially the fact that you've had 32 sales last year. What I would ask the homeowner this, Shauna. I would say, you know, Mr. or Ms. Hanana, if you were going to give your stock portfolio to a stockbroker, would you want to hire somebody who does maybe one trade a year, or somebody who's doing several trades every day? Which would you rather? Mm-hmm. So, Shauna, role play with me. I didn't give you the punchline.
Yes, I would like the one that does several.
Yes. Or let me ask you another one. Probably the reason why you're saying that is because they have more experience, yes?
Correct, and diversity.
Yeah, let's do it another way. Let's say you had a choice of hiring a builder to build a house for you, and it's going to be a really nice house, but they've only done one a year. And then you have a choice to hire a builder who does over 30 a year. Which would you want, the one that's doing one or 30?
30.
Yeah. The reason why is because in both examples, Shauna, is that the builder, the stockbroker, the more trades that they do, the more houses they build, the more skilled they are at their profession. Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
So here's what I can tell you. When it comes to real estate, forgetting price range, you want to hire an agent that has the skill of not just doing a handful of deals a year, but somebody who's doing several. Like for last year, I did 32 transactions. Every time I put together a transaction, I'm dealing with attorneys, I'm dealing with title companies, I'm dealing with home inspections, I'm dealing with buyer remorse, I'm dealing with surveys, and I've done that just last year 32 times. See, let's use chess as the analogy. Let's say we're going to play chess together. Does it matter whether the chess pieces are made out of a low-grade plastic or marble pieces? Does it matter?
No.
Of course not, because the rules of playing the game of chess are the same regardless of how expensive the chess pieces are. And the fact that I've been playing chess of real estate 32 times this year, it gives me an instinctive advantage on what it takes to get a property sold in today's market. Now, as an aside, a lot of the homeowners, yes, that I've been dealing with are on the mid-size range or the lower side range. But here's the thing that's interesting. A lot of those sellers are actually move-up buyers. They're selling their property to move up to a bigger property such as yours. So So I think what you want to hire, so just this is what I would say, is honestly, yes, I haven't listed a property at this level, at this price, but I've done so many transactions, the game of real estate is still the same regardless of the price range. So if you wouldn't mind, let me go through now. Here is the seller success system I use that has helped 32 homeowners in the past 12 months get their property sold in today's market, and then I would lead into my marketing plan.
Excellent. Thank you.
Was that good?
Yes. Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, Shauna, for you and everybody else listening, here's something I just want to remind you about. You know, Shauna, she emailed me this question, and here's how I dealt with her question. And she sent it to me this morning. So I looked at it, and I came up with the chess analogy, the builder analogy, the stockbroker analogy within a few minutes. Here's what I'm going to encourage you all to do. When you have a challenge or an objection from a homeowner, I want you to think outside of real estate for some other industry that would be the example as to why you would be the best person and how to handle that objection. Every objection can be handled with a metaphor or analogy in another industry. So you want to kind of think that through. That's all I want to say. Okay, so thank you, Shauna. All right, that was great, man. Thank you. Now, Candy Thomas and Gary Nogaruka, if you guys are on the call, and Tanzania, if you're on the call, you hit *6 to take yourself off mute because you guys are up. And then, gang, after I answer their questions, then I'm going to open the call to everybody who has a question. So, Candace Thomas, are you on the call? Candace? All right. I'm not going to answer. I'm going to roughly answer her question. Are you there?
Candace?
Hey, Candace. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So, Candace, make sure I'm not on speakerphone, okay? So that way we can hear you better.
Okay, hold on 1 second.
All right, thank you, hon. Tanzania, while Candace is taking me off speakerphone, Tanzania, I see you're on Facebook Live. Hi. The best thing, Tanzania, if you can call in and get on the call so I can people can hear you, because on the live I can't hear you. I need to role play with you your question, so you need to be on the phone for me to handle your question, Tanzania. We're going to role play you and I, all right? But while we're waiting for Tanzania to do that, Candy, are you back with me? Oh, okay. Okay, then don't worry, Candace. Put me back on speakerphone. That's fine. She's on
okay.
The... All right. So, Candace, your question is, I don't want to go through the whole question because a little of what you're asking is kind of political, all right? So I'm going to just pull out some of the things and give you my opinion on this, all right? And actually, I would normally do this, my opinion on this, not on a group call here because this is a political hand grenade, okay? But I feel like I need to address it for your sake. Candace, your question is that you and your broker sent out a postcard. That postcard generated a listing appointment, yes?
Oh, you know what? That must be another Candace Thompson.
All right. So it's actually Candy Thomas, and she is Candace Thomas too. All right. So
okay.
That's so funny. All right, well,
sorry.
Don't apologize. Do you have a question you want to ask me, being that you're off hold?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So how, just piggybacking on the scenario you were doing with Tanzania,
yes.
I've been focusing on for sale by owners and going after the higher-end properties too.
Yeah.
I haven't successfully gotten an appointment, so I didn't know. Do you recommend trying to do some, I guess like some print media marketing into that same area? Because then that for sale by owner is most likely going to be gone by that time. But you know, just to, like, what do you recommend to try to get that business when you're calling that for sale by owner?
So how to break into the luxury market? Is that what you're asking me, Candy?
Yes.
Candace, I'm sorry. You know, here's what I think. I think any door knocking is the least cost, you know, expensive way to do it. So I think that's good. I think doing print advertising, postcard mailings, anything that's going to cost money, I think is good if you have the money to do it. So I wouldn't spend money you don't have.
Okay.
I don't think it's true that a FSBO is going to sell quickly just because it's a luxury. So I wouldn't poo-poo that. I would definitely still here's what I think, Candace, that you should do and everybody should be doing. It's getting in the habit of calling FSBOs and expireds every day. Now, that's hard for us to do if we look at it as a big project that we're going to spend hours doing, but here's what I know. I know every one of us, no matter how busy we are, we can probably make 2 phone calls a day. So I think getting in the habit of you calling every day, having 2 conversations with either FSBOs or expireds in any price range. The other thing is I wouldn't focus just on the high-end market. I would focus on just building inventory. That means low-end inventory, high-end, that's everything. When you try and pigeonhole into just one kind of market, it makes it a little bit more difficult. It takes more money. It takes more time. You know, to become a luxury market agent, it takes time to do that. It takes time of networking. It takes time of building that reputation. And if you have the time and you have the money to wait and to spend, then you should do it. But the good thing about focusing on just inventory is that your store is going to have a variety. You're going to have some low end, you're going to have some high end, you're going to have some middle end. And sometimes, in certain times of the year, certain price ranges move when others are quiet. So sometimes the high-end market might be moving more than the low-end or vice versa. So anyway, that's my suggestion. Did that help you?
It does. Thank you.
You're so welcome. So, all right. So let's. I'm going to put you back on hold. So if you hit star six, Candice, I appreciate that. All right. Now, Candy Thomas, the question you had here. So I'm just going to address it in a blanket way, gang. Her question that she sent to me is that she has her broker and her did a mailing and they got a lead. The broker wasn't in town, so she got the appointment with another agent. So her another agent went. It looks like they're getting a listing, and now the broker wants a piece of the action, even though the broker said that they weren't going to take it. So, you know, that's just not okay. The bottom line is when you're working with a broker that's actively listing and selling, it makes it really hard because sometimes it's only works if the broker or manager takes a side of the agent. They're willing to take a back seat. If there's a decision between who's going to get the listing, whether it's the agent or the broker, that the broker gives it to the agent. Otherwise, it creates animosity. It's hard for an agent to work in that type of atmosphere because they'll feel the broker or manager always has an advantage over them. So that's all I'm going to say about that. So, all right. With that said, let's see. Does anybody have any questions? So let's open up the call, and then I'm going to go to my computer screen in a minute to go over the magazine. So is anybody else that did not get a chance to email me in advance? Do you have a question? Hit star six on your keypad and just give it about 10 seconds for it to unmute you. And so who's got a question? Who's got a question? This is your opportunity to get some.
Hey, Daryl.
All right. Hey, who is this?
It's Mark and Brenda Shepherd.
Hey, Mark and Brenda, how are you?
We're doing good.
All right, good to hear your voice, Mark. So what's up, buddy?
Well, we have a FSBO that we've approached several times here in our neighborhood.
Okay.
And the gentleman is, well, let's just put it this way. He runs a business. He is not hurting for money right now.
Okay.
And he doesn't feel like what I'm looking for here, Brent? Help me out.
I don't know.
Well, you just told me this morning.
Come on, you're married to him, Brenda. You should know what he's thinking.
He doesn't see the value of having an agent represent him.
Yeah, the last time we talked to him, he referred to us as bloodsuckers.
As a whole. Our whole industry are just bloodsuckers.
I understand. All right, so Brent, and is it, I'm sorry, it's Tom, is it?
Mark.
Mark, I'm sorry, Mark.
So he had the house sold at some point, and the appraisal didn't come in where he needed it to.
Okay, so he owns his own business, but it's a house that he's selling, yeah?
Yes.
And it went into contract, but the appraisal. Give me that again. I missed that.
The appraisal came in, I believe, $10,000 under what he needed it to be, in order to go through with the sale.
And the sale fell through.
Yes. Yeah.
And did he work with a broker, or did he do it privately?
Privately.
Good. And And what business is he in?
He has a bunch of properties. He has like 30 properties.
So his business is buying and selling property?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And renting.
And rents them. Okay.
And rents them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, what is he doing now? He's advertising it. He's still trying to sell it, so the deal fell apart, and he's trying to sell it still?
Right.
Yeah, he took it off the market for a while, but it's within the past 2 or 3 weeks, the for sale by owner signs went back up again in his neighborhood.
Okay. All right. So here's. I'll see if I can help you with this. First of all, you have to understand you can't get it all. Can't get every listing. Okay. So that's number one. What would be nice though is because he's got 30 properties, he's obviously buying and selling. That if you can get him, that you can actually maybe get some more of his business. Now, for an investor, the challenge for him is that he sees you as a cost. And so you've got to turn that around and show him that, you know, it's going to be a positive for him financially, that he'll actually make more money working with you guys versus doing it on his own.
Now, yeah, that's basically the way he sees it. We're a cost to him.
Yeah, and I totally get that, and I can respect that, okay? But here's what I would say to him. It's like any business. Let's take a restaurant for an example. I like restaurant analogies because I like to eat a lot. But let's say you're going to open up a restaurant and you want to increase your net profit. Now, to run a restaurant, you need a cook. You need waiters. You need a hostess. You need advertising, etc. Now, if an owner of a restaurant wanted to make the most profit, he would try and do everything. Now, obviously, if he tries to do everything, in the long run, he's probably going to lose money somewhere because he's got to charge lower prices. The menu's not as good because he can't cook and answer the phone at the same time. So here he's got, you know, he doesn't have a small operation here. He's got a huge business going for him. And the best thing is if he wants to keep growing his business, that he needs to delegate certain tasks. So, for example, I would ask him, you know, when it comes to the rent, are you collecting the rent or do you have a rental a manager who's managing your properties to collect the rent? Do you know the answer to that?
I think he does it himself.
Okay. So he's running around collecting rents, dealing with that. Now, of course, they may be mailing. It might be simple. But then I'm sure with 30 properties, his plate is full if he's trying to do everything. So what I would ask you to do is you know what? We would like to be your partner in finding properties, selling your properties, and even managing your properties if it works for you. What I'm going to ask you to do, Mr. Hanahana, is give us this one house as an audition piece. Now, let me explain. You've already taken this property. You've already lost time. You're making payments on this. You put it into contract. It fell apart because you were 10 grand short. You've got 30 properties that you're working. You probably want to buy more and sell more. Just give us an audition. Give us this property to see what we can do. And to see, you already know financially what number doesn't work, that doesn't work for you. Meaning, what did he sell the house for? What was the contract price?
I think 375.
Okay, and it came in at 365, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so what we already know is that he's going to not get 375 because even though he got it, he didn't get it. So that number he's not ever getting. So if he comes back to market at 375, he's still not going to get it. Now, if you guys were to list it, what would you list it at?
Oh, boy.
I honestly think he could get it.
You do? Okay. So what would you list it at?
Well, of course, if he wants, he's saying to us, if we're in the picture, now he needs to list it at 390.
But what would you, forget what he wants, what would you list it at?
Well, we
and
do
by the
probably.
Way, everybody listen, hang on one second, Mark, because I don't want people to get lost on the call. I want you all to pay attention to the questions I'm asking Mark and Brenda because there's a point here that you can learn from this. So don't think that this question doesn't apply to you. So what would you guys list? Forget what he wants. What would you list it at?
I would probably say in that ballpark of 365, 370, somewhere in there.
Somewhere around in there. Okay. So here's what I would do. Do you know what payments he's paying on this? Does he have payments he's making on this?
I don't think so.
All right. So here's what I would do. I would sit down with him, go over the numbers. I would show him, there's a couple things I would do. Number one is I would show him that USA Today article and about the Colby Sambrato that tried to sell his own property. Those
yes.
articles, yeah, you, I would show him that there's a seller's price, there's the FSBO price, and there's a realtor price, and there's a reason why it's different. And I would use those analogies about, you know, if you go to Craigslist, you expect a better deal than if you got the same thing from a brick-and-mortar building because they're getting different buyers. If you took your car, go to kellybluebook.com and type in your car. Kelly Blue Book's going to give you two prices, the dealership price and the private price, and the dealership price is always more. The point is, it's almost impossible for a seller to sell a house at the same price that Brenda and Mark would sell for, because you guys are brokers in a business. Now, he may think that I've done it before. Yeah, I've sold houses before that. You guys didn't pay the commission. I saved the money, and I sold it what would have been a broker price. Well, he doesn't know that because he didn't sell it through a broker. I suggest that he probably still lost money on all of those other houses that he thinks that he was successful at.
Right.
So I would sit down with him and get clear on some numbers. Say, listen, I want to earn your business, and if I can, I can't. But let's sit down. Let me go over some numbers with you and see if I can put more money in your pocket. I would ask him how much money he's paying every month on this house of $375. I would look at his taxes that he's paying, the insurance that he's paying, and there's a good chance that he's got money that he borrowed. What's that called? It's escaping me. Investor money. It's not regular mortgage money. It's crooked money, not crooked money. What's the word I'm looking for? It's hard money, a hard loan, meaning that he may be paying, like, if the interest rates are 4% now, he may be paying 10% on the money to hold this property. So
right.
You need to find out what is he paying on this property right now. This property is costing him money to carry it, okay? Thanks, Deb. Deb trying to help me with the leverage. So I would look at what it's costing him. And if he had listed with you guys from the beginning, it would have sold quicker and he wouldn't have lost the money he's losing now. So I would go hard money. Thank you, Barbara. Hard money is the name I was looking for. So I would show him the articles. I would go through the cost of holding it and see if it makes sense to hire an audition for you and give him a discount. Now, I'm not a fan of discount and brokerage fees, but with an investor who's got 30 properties, I'm going to look at future business with him, so I would go lower end on the commission and let you take over the expense, the marketing, and let's see if you can wow him. And what you might have to go $385 or $390 on the list price. So that's the best one I got for you guys, all right?
Well, that's better than what we had when we started the call.
All right, do me a favor. Make sure you guys email me and let me know how you make out, okay?
Thank you, Daryl.
All right, thank you, guys. I'm going to put you back on mute so you won't have to worry about it. I just muted you. Now, gang, I'm going to go to my computer screen. And for those of you that are looking on the screen, you don't have to be on the screen, but I want to go through the Power Agent magazine right now because we've got 15 minutes left on the call, and there's some really great things that I want to point out in this month's magazine. First of all, Ilana Roche, or Roche, or not sure how to say her last name. Ilana, great agent. She's from New Jersey. We had a great call, and she's very successful. She's gotten the Circle of Excellence bronze level last year. She's Rookie of the Year. She did 40 open houses last year. So a new agent, but she's kicking butt. In the magazine, yeah, we transcribed the whole article for you, so that's there for you. But let me jump to page number 22. Now, page 22 in this month's magazine is just a simple letter to mail out, whether it's to farming, to FSBOs. So that's what's there. There's a just sold letter that I have in there for you on page 23. Now, I must admit a weakness of my company. A lot of times, We think there's some typos, so don't hold that against me. If you see a typo, just fix the typos. All right. Now, on page 24, there's an expired letter that I gave you. On page 25, there is another letter that I just want to point something out here. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the thought of change is difficult. Many people, there's a typo, there's a capital P. As their families begin to grow, dread the thought that they may need to move up to a larger home. The concerns are usually the same, getting your current home sold, finding that perfect new one, et cetera, et cetera. As a specialist at One Stop Realty, I have formulated a very comprehensive 21-point transition package that has helped many families. Now, the part that I wanted to point out in this letter, first of all, it's a great letter, but the other thing I wanted to point out is whenever possible, if you can name things, there's been a lot of studies done that when you name things, it gives more credibility to it. So that's why, like, I call it the seller success system, or this here, it's the 21-point transition package. So think of anything that you do that even other agents do, as soon as you put a name on it, it makes it sound unique and special. Okay, there's an expired letter that I gave you, page 26, and I just want to read you the first sentence, or first two sentences. In the last few days, you have been inundated with phone calls, letters, packages, even videos. I'm sure you must be asking yourself some two very important questions. You know, where are all these agents coming from, and how the world do I choose between so many of them? So anyway, this is a great letter that speaks to a homeowner who's getting inundated, with phone calls, especially after an expire. It's a two-page letter that I gave you. There's another expired letter on page 28. Now, what I love about page 29, this is a sample of a postcard. Todd Hammond, one of our power agents, we interviewed him a couple of years ago, and Tom is sells property in down in Florida. He also loves motorcycle. He's a smiling guy. I love this guy. He's carefree. He's got a great life, this guy, because Todd, he loves the beach. He moved down there. He's got property on the beach, and he's listing and selling. So, my point here is that he really embraces, if I saw a realtor with sitting on a motorcycle, some people might say, maybe not the most professional, but what I love about Todd is that he embraces who he is, and he doesn't run away from it. And he loves his business. He loves his clients. Anyway, he's got a real good balance, just inspired by Tom. Now, he's got on his postcard that's on my screen here, he put a couple of bullets to point out. The benefits of selling your home with me is I use professional photographers, virtual tours, social media, video. I advertise your listing on 940 different websites and IDX feeds. So he squeezed those few little bullet points on his postcard. So I thought that was cool. Another postcard that he has is there for you to look at. Now, on page 31, and if you're looking at my screen, you can't really read it, so you have to print it out because it's fine print. But he put together this flyer that he sends as a post follow-up to a listing appointment. Thank you for considering me as your real estate agent. And then he's got reminders of some of the things he discussed on the listing appointment that makes him different from other agents, about presentation tour, his social media marketing. He uses QR codes in this example. So that's a great piece. Now, page 32, gang, and those of you that can't see the magazine, you should be making notes of the page numbers. Page 32 is a really great idea for a flyer, for a value-added mailing piece, for a Popeye, as Brian Buffini would call it. There's two quick do-it-yourself staging tips. So it's a simple two tips on a flyer. Declutter. Clutter eats equity. Clear all unnecessary objects from the yard and the porch. And Blatton goes on raking and weed and sweeping the walkway. And then painting. Does the front door need a fresh coat of paint? So two simple little, here's some staging tips to help you sell your property for the highest possible price. And then what I love what Robin does here, it says, I'm not sure where to start. Call me and I will do a complimentary buyer's eye view walkthrough and suggest the most cost-effective staging techniques. I love that Robin does that. Right now, we're moving into that time of year where people are spending a lot of money, or spending some money to improve their house, doing some planting and some painting and, sprucing up their house. So this mailing here could appeal to even people who aren't thinking about selling their house, but they'd like to get a bird's eye view of where they could spend some dollars on their property. On page 33, Sandra, she has this smooth move program. And again, she gave it a name to helping buyers making the move. Love that. let's see, look for land. There's a postcard here for looking for land. There's a postcard looking for referrals on page 34. Gang, let me interrupt myself because I'm only on page 35 of the magazine. The problem with the magazine is that I give you too much stuff. You cannot implement everything in these monthly magazines. So what I suggest you do is, and before we end the call, I'm going to give you a final suggestions as to what to focus on the next 30 days. But here's what to do with these magazines. I would go through the magazines. I would pick one or two things that you might want to implement in your business. That's it. I give more than that you can implement. I do that just because I want you to treat it like a Chinese smorgasbord and pick whatever you like and implement it. Now, I love this one. The next one on page 36, this is for sale by owner marketing rules. Yeah, just to read a couple of here. Number one, price your home at or just below market. Be cautious not to overprice your home. This can cost you money. Stage your home showings. Make an attractive detail flyer of your property. Anyway, it goes through 13 tips on marketing rules for a homeowner. You can use this flyer as a mailing. You can use this flyer as a drop-by. You can use this as a post-follow-up or pre-listing appointment. Now, this over here, I love this one. There's two different postcards here on page 37. Paula Rogers said, I just listed the home at blank. One of the reasons these homeowners selected Paula Rogers to market their home is her 100% guaranteed service program. Again, she named something. Paula strongly believes that if you are unhappy with her service, you have the power to fire her, no questions asked. Are you thinking of selling? Don't do it until you read this free booklet on the 9 deadly mistakes sellers make when listing their home for sale. I love this postcard because it's got a name, it's got a guarantee in it, it's got a call to action. If people want this 9 deadly mistakes, another postcard she has is the home seller's handbook. How do you put these together? There's so many things on the internet you can find. I've given you some in other magazines and previous issues. Okay. Now, this one here on page 38, this is this senator in my market, he did a family day. I've seen a lot of agents where they'll do during the warmer weathers where they'll have a day where they bring clients together, they bring vendors together, they have people sponsor. It's like a mini carnival. It's a big project to do, but I know some agents that every year that they did it, they got more and more people, they got more listings from it. I'll tell you where these things work the best, these carnivals, if you will. By the way, I just saw something here. It's got health screening, college saving, flu shots, senior programs. It's a great idea to have some kind of carnival event, but you do it, it works best in my opinion when it's a gated community or a neighborhood. So you make it a neighborhood event and you get people to participate. You can have other guest speakers, actually have outdoor seminars on some of these things. So I love this idea. It takes a lot of work, but if you're looking to own a subdivision, especially gated community, that's the best thing to do. Okay, what else we have here? On page 40, the 30-day, 60-day review checklist from this Century 21 office. You can use this as a checklist for your team. You can so it goes through, here's the 30/60-day review checklist whenever you get a listing. You can use this, as I said, if you have a team, or you can use this on a listing appointment to show a homeowner. Here's how you run your business like a business. You know, I want to say something about the listing appointment. There are so many things that you can show on a listing appointment. I've said this before. I just want to remind people, what items should you talk about on a listing appointment? You know, your advertising, your open houses, flyers, lockbox, your systems, your checklist. Here's what you should talk about. You should talk about whatever you're excited to talk about. And if you talk about the things that you're excited about, people will pick up your enthusiasm and they'll list with you because of your passion about what you're saying. And don't forget, whenever possible, is to use metaphors and analogies to explain what you do. I've said this before, that when I would go on listing appointments, I usually never got past three marketing tools. I would talk about MLS. I always led with MLS. MLS, I use the analogy, it's like a mall. Instead of you being a store on the corner by yourself, when you list with my office, because of all the other listings and because of MLS, it's like being in a mall. You know, who makes more money, a store on the corner or a store that's in a mall? It's the one in the mall. So anyway, I would talk about MLS, brokers open house, public open house, and usually by the third one, people would stop me and say, give me the paperwork, because I used the metaphor to explain it. And you can't argue when you use the metaphors. It just makes so much more sense. Okay. Let's say I'm finishing up the book here. I will tell you this. I got 4 minutes left. On page 44, Robert Kirby. Robert Kirby was one of my agents years ago. He was in Virginia Beach. Robert Kirby did 97 listings in his first year of real estate. 97 listings, 80 of them sold. He became a quick top producer. One of the things that Robert Kirby did is he put together this little marketing brochure here. It's on my screen, page 44. This was the cover, and then he went through some of his properties. He gave some people to call, 5 good reasons to list with Robert, and then the 5 good reasons were 5 people and their phone numbers. And it said, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Chiello, they sold in 14 days, the Wilkinsons, 12 days. Anyway, so great testimonials, a little brochure about himself, his plan of action, what he's committed to doing. Then he's got a 20-point marketing plan. This over here, I love this seller information. Here's how to prepare for showing the house. Threes are crowded. Anyway, it was a very simple packet that he gave that was pre-printed in color, and he would drop this off before he would go on listing appointments. And by the time he went there, because of this simple these few pages that I'm sharing with you, they were already pre-sold on him. And all he really needed to do was sign the document. So anyway, that's Robert Kirby. His listing appointments were usually 10 minutes. Emilia wants to know how to get the magazine. Again, how you get the magazine is you've got to log in to the Power Program website with your username and password. You know, you have to be an active Power agent for the magazine. If you lost your username and password, just send us a little message on the website, thepowerprogram.com. You'll see it says live chat. You'll talk to Sarah, and she'll pull up your username, password, and send it to you. All right, here's the last thing. I've got 2 minutes left in the call. Here's your 30-day marketing plan, or what? Not marketing plan, but your 30 days of what you guys should focus on. Number one is focus on making 2 calls a day to FSBOs and expireds. Keep doing that. Keep building your inventory. The problem with this weather getting nicer, there's a tendency to want to show property. More buyers are coming to the out to look. Therefore, you should have listings for buyers to come look at your property. If you're not using Redix, you need to be using Redix. Make sure you go to darylspecial.com and type in the word SMILE for the coupon code if you haven't activated your free membership for the 30 days. So that's darylspecial.com. So that's number one. Speak to FSBOs, expireds, 2 a day. Here's the second thing. Do open houses. You're going to get a lot of activity in this nicer weather. Number 3, you've got a shiny penny. Take that shiny penny, set up an appointment Saturday to show 3 buyers at the same time that shiny penny. If you take a shiny penny on Saturday and you bring 3 buyers to meet you there, like you're doing your own mini open house for these 3 people, you're probably going to sell that house immediately. So I love that technique. My students who do that, they usually will sell that house. And that's it. That's all I've got. So I hope this call was helpful for you guys. I'm going to be posting this recording. The audio will be on the call on the website by the end of the week. All right. Thank you. Listen, don't forget, we don't just help people buy and sell real estate. We actually help people get moved from point A to point B in their life. What we do is help people get to their next level in their life. So the more lives you touch, the more lives you save, the more lives you help, the more money you will make. Money is a gauge as to how many lives you've touched. So go touch a lot of lives. Help a lot of people. All right, gang. God bless you. Thanks for calling in. And until we talk again, don't forget to keep smiling. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Darryl.